Reading Revelation 5 in the whole chapter. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped.
If you're visiting here this morning and you read the Apostles' Creed before, I went to a Lutheran school in southeast Queensland and we said that a lot, and I didn't really know what I was saying. I just muttered lots of words. If you read it or you said it and you want to think a bit more about it, there's a book called The World Next Door, which actually is written for people who are exploring Christianity, written by Rory Scheiner and Peter Orr. If you're interested in understanding what we all said together, would you please come and talk to me afterwards and I can get you a copy. I'm going to let you in to some of my bad worship moments. I think some of my most worldly worship moments happened at Sydney Olympic Park. By worldly worship, I mean something that's got nothing to do with God, but sees humans lost in elation, excitement and ecstasy. The first one, it was at Sydney 2000. I was in Sydney doing my practical unit for my sports degree, And for the full fortnight, I was down at the Olympics and was able to see Kathy Freeman smoke people in her 400-metre heat. And then she did her dazzling victory in the final, which I had to watch on TV, I admit. My second worldly worship moment that happened at Sydney Olympic Park was seeing the band Coldplay play. They played live at Sydney Superdome and they played a song called Yellow. And they did it actually up amongst the crowd. And then yellow tinsel started falling from the roof. It was awesome. My third and final worldly worship moment was at Sydney Olympic Park seeing David Beckham play. It was Sydney Olympic Stadium. The stadium was absolutely packed, 85,000 people. I was in the nosebleed section. I was in row 1,941. And then it happened. It happened. He sets up outside the 18-yard box. Do you know what that is? Anyway, 18-yard box is about, I went on Google, 16 or 17 metres away from the goal. He was about 20 metres away from the goal, and it happened. Guess. Bend it like Beckham. Bend it like Beckham. He scored. The crowd went absolutely nuts. The ball rocketed into the goals. Everyone's yelling and shouting. Popcorn is flying through the air. Hot dogs are flying through the air. Beer's being sloshed on everyone. It was electric. Hands are raised. There's dancing and singing. And yet, silly me. I actually had an even more magical moment in Brisbane. You know where this is going, don't you? Do you know where this is going? I was at Caxton Street in Brisbane. There was a sea of maroon jerseys. People were flooding into the temple. This was the biggest crowd ever at Suncorp Stadium, Lang Park. Biggest crowd ever. Queensland had won game two at Sydney Olympic Park in the last match. Did I say before I went to school in Queensland? Sydney Olympic Park. In the game before, Jonathan Thurston busted his shoulder, wins the game for Queensland, man of the match. Now it is game three. If you feel your heart wanting to boo, if emotion takes over you, feel free to do so. Anyway, long story short, Queensland won the game. I was there, frenzy of passion. Can you consider 50,000 Queenslanders in a moment like that? It was worship. The words on their lips, Queenslander, 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 it rang out. It shook the Great Wall of China. But you'd be pleased to know that Celebration Sunday today, we're going to find a better reason to use our lungs than a bunch of crazy Queenslanders worshipping rugby league. This morning, briefly, we're going to answer a question: what is the church? We'll feel our lungs expand, diaphragms lift, if that's what you do. Prepare to sing the loudest you ever have as we discover an incredible reason to sing. Now, kids, I can see two kids watching. And any youth who are here, I see you. If you would like to practice with me, Cameron and Amelia did a video during the week on social media where they asked ChatGPT how to sing. So I thought we could do a little practice together. So what you need to do is stand up. So ChatGPT says, if you want to sing, the first one was get your breathing right. So let's all breathe together. I think it went like this, didn't it, Cam? Okay, then the next thing, it says posture. Get good posture. I think Cam, is this it? Oh, no, he's got his, yeah. Posture. Now, warm-ups. I think you just did one push-up. Pitch. You meant to practice. Now, emotion. I should have got him up to do this. And then you record yourself singing. I think that's all he did. Well done. But we're going to very soon discover the most important reason to sing as we head to Revelation chapter 5. But before we do that, I'd like to pray to allow us to prepare our hearts. So let's pray. Let's talk to God. Father, you made us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Would you allow us to live up to our calling this morning as creatures able to worship? Would you stir our hearts that we might worship the one who is truly worthy? And that's Christ, that his name might be on our lips rather than our names in the year ahead and the decade ahead and for all eternity. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, later tonight, I'm going to be walking through Sydney Airport before flying to Dubai tomorrow and then to Zimbabwe later this week. But whenever I'm down in Sydney Airport, I always do a bit of stargazing, a bit of a brush with fame. In Sydney Airport over the years, I've had photos with Australian cricket captains, NRL football stars, and even people off reality TV shows. Because you never know who might be lurking around Sydney Airport on a Sunday afternoon that I might be able to worship as an adoring fan. Yet Revelation chapter 5 is very clear who we all should be on the lookout for. And we see it in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, "See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of Jesse, has triumphed." Now, "see" in verse 5 is like an old school word called "behold." So the writer of Revelation, the guy who wrote it, was a guy called the Apostle John. He's trying to grab our attention. He's trying to say, "Hey, look. Gaze, gape, gawk, behold our resurrected King crucified for us." Because did you notice in verse 6, when Philippa read it for us, the lion was also a lamb in verse 6. "Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne." That's weird, isn't it? It's a weird vision. A lion, yet it looks like a lamb. Crazy, huh? But there could be nothing more subversive, could there? Nothing more upside down than instead of beasts of imperial power, bears, eagles, we have a lamb. Instead of a victorious military general, we have one who was slain for us. Instead of the power and the glory and the wisdom of the empire, we have weakness, shame, and folly on the cross of Jesus. But it is the folly and the weakness of the cross that has conquered. The King Jesus reigns on a cross. Because Jesus the Lamb has all strength in verse 6. Did you see that? Symbolized by seven horns. The Lamb, Jesus, has all knowledge, symbolized by seven eyes. And the Lamb receives the worship of heaven because by his death, he's ransomed and he's set free God's people, the church. So the emotional force of the chapter is through the conquering death, and it's there that there's real victory. Therefore, the Lamb receives the praise of heaven in verse 12. So in a loud voice, they were saying, shout it out with me, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom," louder, "and strength and honor," louder, "and glory and praise." Then all of the creation, all of the globe takes up in the chorus, it's better than Whoopi Goldberg, comes into the refrain in verse 13 and 14, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the sea and on the sea and all that was in them saying, get ready. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. This is not a trick. This is reality. The failure of the cross of Jesus turns out to be the turning point of human history. And the focus of heaven's praise, the eternal song of the church. So Lismore, we've got a message for you. The message for the city of Lismore is, do not be fooled by what you see and cannot see. It might appear that Christianity was yesterday's news. Christendom, I've been telling our church family, is over in Australia. Science feels like it is irrelevant to worship Jesus. But God is on the throne. On earth in history, Jesus looks like he has been thrashed. But in heaven, he is enthroned. Nonetheless, here is the message for you, the church, on Celebration Sunday. Maybe you see the enticements of the world, all the allure of worship. Worship your career. Worship your body. Worship your shoes. Worship your money. It is so hard to live for Christ when everyone around us is worshiping the world, isn't it? Yet the fact is, we can only sin if we suffer a radical loss of perspective. When what sin offers seems better than what God offers. But that's what happens to us day after day after day. We lose perspective. So John says, behold, look to the Lamb on the throne, the one who died for you, the one who offers you glory. Maybe you're weeping, your heart is broken, and the pressure on you and the loss is so overwhelming. We have to read in Revelation 5, weep no more with the behold. But let me say to you this morning, this is not a call to get a grip. And it's not pull yourself together. John is not telling you off if you cry into your pillow tonight. He is inviting you to behold, to see Jesus, the Lamb on the throne. He is inviting you to look to the great power in the universe. He is inviting you to look at the one who reigns over history. He's inviting you to look at the one who gave his life for you. He's inviting you to look to the Lamb, and your story is not over. He's saying there's another chapter in your life. And that chapter is glory. So on Celebration Sunday 2024, look, see, get old school, behold, worship. What is the church? The church is a people. The church is a people. We are the church. A people filled with song, drawn into creation, into worship. Revelation 5 from verse 13. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and they worshipped. I'm going to invite Matt Crosthwaite to come and lead us in prayer.
Thanks, Jim. There's no microphone. I got it. Thank you. As Stu said, my name is Matt. Something that makes my heart sing, what doesn't make my heart sing is waking up early in the morning. Most mornings I have to wake up early, but I do really enjoy the time of day, early morning. It's absolutely beautiful, and it does make my heart sing. Each day as I drive to work, enjoying that time of day, it actually reminds me to pray, to be really thankful to God for all that He is and all that He's given me, and it also reminds me to pray for my church family and for His mission for us here in Lismore. So I'm going to invite you now to pray with me. So let's do that. Our Father in heaven, You are worthy of all praise. Lord God, we praise Your name forever. You're eternal and perfect in every way. And by Your amazing grace, You have chosen to share Your glory with us. Unable to approach You in our own strength or by our own righteousness, You declared us righteous by the blood of Christ. You have redeemed us, saved us for Your good purposes, and we celebrate all that You have done in our lives. We particularly celebrate the past year of Your faithfulness to us. Strengthen us, Lord, to continue to trust You. Thank You, Lord, for the partnerships that we have with our global mission partners. Thank You for the opportunities that You give us to be a blessing on our community. And as we speak the gospel to each other, Lord, may we love You more and more. And please give us a boldness to joyfully share the good news of Jesus. We celebrate Your most amazing gift to us, Your own Son, the One who has revealed Your glory, revealed Your character, and displayed Your love for us. We have so much to celebrate, and Father, we know that You have given us an eternity to do that, to gather around Your throne, to share in the victory that You have won on our behalf over sin and death. Lord God, may we continue to celebrate You today as we chat and share and sing, play, laugh and eat together. And especially as the gospel is proclaimed in the lives of those sharing their stories through baptism. What a delight it is for us to witness when Your story becomes our story. When our hearts sing for that which makes Your heart sing. Father, we give You thanks for Your Spirit who dwells in us and shines a light revealing the radiance of Your Son, our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise forever and ever. Amen.